Hey Siri, set a timer for 1 hour in 3 minutes.
1 hour and 3 minutes, counting down.
You heard it here first, folks. We're in the big leagues now, and that means no free rides. You get what you get, and that's it. As soon as this is over, it's over. I don't care if we're in the middle of a discussion, it's done. I don't care if we're in the middle of solving global warming.
Wow, you would really cut the show if we were in the middle of solving global warming.
That's exactly correct.
That's a lot.
This is, you know what? And we continue solving global warming right at the line, and then we start a new episode, a Patreon-only episode.
That's where we give
So
the solution.
that's exactly correct. The
Yes.
solution to global warming is,
You
and then
have to pay for the answer.
that's exactly correct. $5
Pay
a
to
month.
survive.
Patreon.com/drawcall. That's DRA. I'm just gonna
Well, you're shilling hard.
the whole episode is gonna be plugged now. If we haven't already lost half the audience, I'm going back to just shitposting. We had one good app. We had one successful app.
Might have some good retention from that, though.
That's the test, really, is seeing how long the viewers are willing to put up with this shit. Me rambling on forever. I haven't had a good ramble in a while. It's been a minute.
True. Jim kept us on track last episode.
That's exactly correct.
But we have a new guest.
We do have a new guest. Dimitri,
Hello.
what's up? How you doing?
Good.
Dimitri, do you care if we use your last name? Well, we're gonna we'll, I mean, I
It's gonna
guess
be in the.
it's gonna be in the title, so
Yeah.
yeah. Do
You
you
can
want
use
to?
my last name.
Sick. Thank you. Dimitri Sean,
Yeah.
welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's been about 23 hours since I messaged you saying, hey, we really need to record an episode.
Brutal honesty, you didn't need to say that.
You know what? That's part of the draw call way is that we're brutally honest here.
Okay,
Yeah,
yes.
part of the I feel like part of the allure of the show is like our constant intrusive thought to pull back the curtain and let our listeners know literally everything that we're doing and all of the little logistical details that most professional podcasts probably don't talk about, but
Exactly.
hey.
But yeah, that's what makes us different, you know?
Yeah, we're different.
We are different.
We're not like those other podcasts.
We're not like those other guys.
That's fair. The honesty is refreshing, so thank
Well,
you. Thanks, Dimitri.
yeah, thank you
Your
very
honesty is
much.
refreshing.
Oh, thanks. Sometimes.
All right, well.
Did you say sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes it's just mean. It's
God,
fine.
our levels are horrible right now. All right, I'm gonna fix the levels.
Your levels are horrible.
Your levels are horrible, pal. Oh my God. That's because it's been really far up for the longest time. Holy fuck. That's gonna be super fun to figure out how to fix
I was about to say,
later
it
on.
looked like we were peaking a little bit.
Yeah, a lot.
So I was kind of like whispering.
We were peaking a ton. All right, we can go back to yelling now. Dimitri, Sean, you're a producer at Shell Games.
Yes.
How long have you been there?
Oh, Lord.
Here.
It would be a year in September, so whatever is backwards from that.
11 months.
Yeah.
A little
Wow.
more than 11 months, I think. Yeah, wow. You're coming up. You're coming
Yeah.
up on the 1 year anniversary. Oh, man. Wow. Where are you coming from?
So I am coming from mainly an esports company that kind of split off from another publisher called Skillshot. It's based in Georgia.
Skillshot.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard of Skillshot. Why have I heard of Skillshot?
I don't know. Why have you heard of
What like
Skillshot?
what did Skillshot like what was Skillshot known for?
So we were a full key. Okay, let me think about it. We are a turn-based esports company that provided any part of esports that you would like. So down from competition planning to what's it called? Production in esports. So anything you'd see on Twitch or whatnot. And then we would be a full turnkey solution. So anything that you could think of that you would need, we would help with. We even did a lot of consulting too. So.
Okay, yeah. I feel, did you guys ever work with maybe I don't know if you could say this or not, but did you ever work with like any League of Legends events?
So League of Legends is very restrictive on their like just general esports stuff. So we did a lot of things. Well, we try to do things with like college and high school. We were very successful with high school, but not college, just because there's more restrictions on like a league and what you are considered to have a league. And high school
Yes.
is just easier to do like one-off
Yeah, that makes
events.
sense. Okay, then I definitely have not heard of you guys before.
Yeah. It's all good.
unless you guys were involved in my college esports scene. I did do some college esports for a while.
Actually,
a little moonlighter.
Did you participate in NACE? Was your school part of NACE?
No. We were part of CSL.
That's the other one. Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we did anything with CSL. But if you heard of like DreamHack and their like collegiate like track, we did that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that I feel like that's kind of where I've heard Skillshot from, yeah. The DreamHack world.
Yeah, we're very entangled with DreamHack.
Got it.
You ever work a DreamHack event, a booth? Were you?
I ran a whole entire world championship 2 years in a row at DreamHack.
Okay, that's way more than
a booth.
Yeah, that's it was a whole booth. Stage and everything.
Shit, my bad. Hey, my fault. Put some respect on your name, Dimitri.
It's fine. It was only in Georgia. So if you went to DreamHack anywhere else, no. Okay,
fair.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of logistical planning work.
What does that mean? What does it mean to run a whole event?
So I guess that gets kind of into my background of like how we got into that, but it basically, so first Skillshot was an extension of Hi-Rez Studios down in Georgia. So we did all of Hi-Rez's sports. So if you've ever played a game by Hi-Rez, it would be like Paladins, Realm Royale, or their biggest game. What is that? Smite. There we go. Smite. Smite had their world championships every year, and it was normally in like a one-off location in Georgia. That was we booked out a whole entire venue and we did that. So that was actually my first year with Hi-Rez, was that I ran that whole entire event, and logistics for that is heavy. There, it's a multi-million dollar show, so there's a lot going on. There's a whole stage, there's a lot of LED screens and like player desks that we have to do. And so we rent out like this whole auditorium that's very much like a theater, like a very big opera theater. And so we did that. Logistics for that is complicated and encompasses a time span of about a year. So it is a lot of work.
When you say a year, that so you're planning out the event a year in advance.
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
Jesus. Yeah, man, that sounds like a lot of how so. Whenever you start the process of planning an event like this, you go back a year. What is the first, like, how many pieces do you even have? I feel like there's a lot of unknowns that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Even like 6 months, 3 months out.
Like,
how
yeah.
do you know
a lot.
What, like, what, how,
where
just
do you
tell
start?
Me, yeah, where do you start?
Where do you start?
Okay. So we start with the first couple of months into the planning. So the World Championship, old days was back in January, so it was that first week where we had New Year's. After that event, it's a lot of like closing it up, getting a lot of the financial stuff wrapped out, things sent back to where it needs to go. Right after that, we start discussing hotels. That is the first place we start, just because we want to reserve that block. And because it was in the same spot, it was super easy to like call the hotel, work out a contract, get the best deal that we could. That was probably for the first like 3 months, is we would look at other hotels, see if the one that we stayed at was still the one we wanted to stay with, work out those contracts, make sure that we were good to go, and have a hold on how many rooms we really wanted. And it would range from like, I would say about 200 rooms to 300 rooms. So it's a lot of rooms.
Jeez,
that's so many rooms.
Yeah, and it was a lot to manage, and spreadsheets are my friends. So, but that's like the first part of it. And then you go into more logistics about how we want to plan the stage. So we start to understand how we want the LED screens. There's a lot of things that go into making sure that players don't cheat. So like there's a bunch of that. There's a bunch of also feedback from the pro players about like the noise. Like, can they hear the noise in their headset? So maybe we need to reorganize where the speakers are. And so there is just a lot of logistics. So we start planning like the venue blueprint, and then getting closer, that's when the publisher starts getting involved with like all the marketing assets. We have to be really strict about those deadlines. Mm-hmm. They would push those deadlines. So it's like, okay, well, here are your overcharge fees. So, and then we would start in between like marketing and then like the planning out the stages, you would have like ticketing. So ticketing would be the next big part. And then also like player experience. So like when you have them come, what are they going to endure? Like how short should the lines be? So it's a whole thing.
Jeez.
It does sound like a whole damn thing.
Yeah. Do you ever interface with like the specific teams that are coming to the event? Like when do those get selected? generally relative to when the event actually happens?
So in esports in general, it depends how you're running your league. So HiRez had a very specific way we ran the league where the quantities were known for the teams that were coming. Mm-hmm. So the championship was usually, I think I want to say the top six teams. And then they would go. And then we would have a LAN before that that would essentially say who are the top six teams who are going. And they go back and forth. Sometimes they have established teams that are represented by actual orgs, or they have teams that are kind of drafted by the players. And then it's like a whole event at the beginning of the year to have the team captains draft their teams, and then they carry them. So they go back and forth. I think right now, if I'm not mistaken, they have it to where the teams are being drafted. Mm-hmm. When I was there, it was organizations were representing the teams.
Right.
And then it was also bigger when I was there. Instead of just NA, it was like a bunch of different countries. So there was like China, Brazil. And so like you had those slots like filled in. And so that in itself was a whole different thing that was complicated.
Yeah, like at the international communications must have been really tricky.
Yeah, they had translators though, so the esports division would always make sure there was translators there. China's team was pretty big and well funded, so they had their own translators come. And then you just brought me like PTSD about like visas. Visas were a nightmare.
PTSD.
Yeah.
Draw call specialty. Let's talk about it. What kind of war stories you got relating to visas?
Oh, it's just a process. Like you have to, a lot of our esports kids are in school.
Yeah.
So like we had to write school letters. We had to provide so many documents for like visas, like flights and everything, and hotel rooms where they were staying. A whole entire letter from legal explaining what they would be doing. They had to apply for it like a whole like 6 months in advance. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like whenever I hear about like competitive esports, and like tournaments coming up, there's always some visa problems.
Yeah,
there's always like some major big player who everyone's like very excited to see perform hit with visa problems, and everyone's like that is just the worst. How is there anything you can do on your end to resolve that, or is that kind of like up to them and the government?
Well, so our best practices was we did them early, and that if there was any problems that we would try to handle it. So getting them done early was the best thing that we could do. Mm. So that way, if we needed to talk to the embassy, we needed extra letters or whatnot, we could. I think the biggest thing that we also went up was esports was fairly new when I started doing all of this. So some embassies wouldn't technically understand why they were going somewhere to play video games, and it was very new. So like sometimes we would have to provide like additional evidence of why they were coming into the country and what they would be doing. So, yeah.
That just sounds like an absolute mess.
Oh, it was.
There's so many like, what's the word I'm thinking of? There's so many like threads you have to keep track of.
Yeah.
How do you keep track of all those threads?
A nice spreadsheet. Mm. So that's how we did it. And then also like, don't even get me into like their flights. Like flights were the worst. Oh,
let's get into it. Let's get into flights. Why? I don't know. Is that?
I don't think it's that interesting. It's just that it's just a lot. Like, and then like layovers and like trying to figure out like the best ones. And we did have like a travel agent that did help us, but at the end of the day, to make it easier, they just let us have access into their back end, and we kind of just booked our own flights.
Whoa!
Wait. The airline let you in.
Oh,
the
travel agent.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, that's wild. Delta's giving you unrestricted access.
No.
Yeah, you handle all this shit.
But that is a common practice in businesses, is that like that you, a sole person has access to the flight or the agency's back end, depending on how you have your contract structured. But yeah, we would book all the flights.
Wow. That just sounds like such a mess, honestly.
It was a lot of planning.
So difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
What was? Do you have any examples of where things just went so wrong, just straight downhill?
There's a lot. in esports, the thing that I got to learn the most was I could plan as much as I want, and I'm a perfectionist, so this really gets to me. I could plan as much as I wanted to. My plan could be perfect. It could be efficient, but it would always, at the end of the day, get thrown out the window. because nothing would go according to the way that we wanted to.
Yeah.
So you get used to it really fast. So there are a lot of things like I think one time, one that's related to travel is we had a bunch of content people come from Brazil and their flight got canceled at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I like had a phone call and look, I'm a light sleeper, which is probably a good thing for me. I had to figure out how to get all these people on another plane and get it sorted and where they were staying and like all this stuff. Also, because there was like a language barrier. So,
oh man. And you had to do that?
Yes.
How did you get past the language barrier?
Google Translate. I told them to go to the front desk and let them know that I was calling the airline and to wait for me to message them. And that's how it went. So it was great.
Damn.
Yeah. We got it sorted though. They got onto a plane the next day and they were fine.
And they probably didn't even know anything happened.
Yeah.
They were probably like, huh, this is a different flight.
Yeah.
Didn't even cross their mind what happened in the background to make it happen.
So I think esports wise though, I think the worst thing that's happened to me, Mac, did you want to say something?
No, I was literally just like perking up to be like, why? I am so excited to hear what you have to say. For once, I did not have a quip.
Yeah.
I'm quipless today. I'm being nice. Please tell your story.
Okay. Well, the nice. I don't know what that means.
Z, can you fill her in?
Mac has quips. He likes to throw them out when he can.
Maybe I am old. What is quips?
Oh, man, quips could be short little interjections, or they could be like side quests that Mac will like go on.
Yeah.
And
like if I got a thought that's just intrusive enough, just can't get it in my head,
comes out.
I'm gonna say it.
You should do it. I am very used to those. You would be surprised.
From like just in general,
yes,
or like. From like me, Mac Nelson.
No, I'm just saying that's not a unique trait to just you. Oh, yeah. A lot of people do it.
Yeah, you ain't special. No. I mean, I don't have any quips.
Come on, we're putting you on the spot. What's your intrusive thought? God.
I don't have a fucking interesting thought, dude. All right. My interesting thought is, damn, my head hurts.
And that's your interesting thought.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, I'm really struggling. I've been letting you take the lead. I've been letting you, have you noticed?
A little bit, yeah.
I've kind of just been sitting here.
Well, like, why does your head hurt? I guess this is my intrusive thought.
Oh, all right. Well, we don't have to. Listen, this isn't the Mac show. This is Draw Call. Draw Call, the onus is on the guest. But if you must know.
Yes.
I was not able to sleep last night. For all those who are not privy to the dealings of our company, our mutual company, Shell Games, we launched a new website today.
Mm.
And boy, was I just completely paralyzed with fear and anxiety over the event. And I was not able to go to bed. It was also probably because I had way too much coffee beforehand and not a lot of food to like sort of give the caffeine a bit of a barrier to my bloodstream. So yeah, I was like resting in like the most surface level way where like,
that's fair. Yeah.
I could still like, I had a podcast going and I still remember every single part of the podcast, but I woke up or like quote unquote woke up or like got out of bed feeling like relatively more rested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was one of those where it's like, I for sure did not enter deep REM, whatever the fuck it's called, but something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what. But then, I feel like that's a reason for your head to hurt is like lack of sleep. I know.
That wraps into Z's question because I, going 360.
Holy hell.
I experienced that a lot. So also, producer, this is how I wrap conversations back.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I used to do that a lot when I was in esports because a lot of retention or a lot of attention would be on the event. A lot of things wouldn't be going the way that I wanted to go. And I was just anxiety ridden. So I have a very bad anxiety problem.
Yes.
And so it affects my sleep to the point where I guess it does feel like caffeine. But it, for me, it's more like when things are going wrong or when I know I'm over like pressured with everything, like I don't get the best sleep. I just don't. Like, my mind is constantly going. It's hard for me to, like, just fall asleep. And so, like, I get to that state that you're talking about. And, yeah, your head's going to hurt. You're going to feel exhausted. Like, I remember during one event, the whole entire week, I maybe had gotten, I want to say, like 20 hours of sleep.
For a whole week?
It's not a lot of sleep.
Yeah. 4 a day, if that?
Yeah. It was about 3 to 4 hours every single day. Yeah. And
so shitty.
Being the like the project manager of the event, you're the first one in, last one out. Right. Always. And so, yeah, that would attribute. And then I would have work to do when I got back to my hotel room. So
fuck that.
It's not like I could just rest. But it was, I took the hit so my team could be well rested to continue on. And so, but I understand the way you feel right now because it's the worst. And damn. I think the one time that it was the worst was during setup. I think at one time, a lot of our shipment was coming in late and like we didn't know where they were and I would have to call. And so I think like that's my worst nightmare during every event is like, is everything going to get here on time? Yeah. Like, wait, what did you just say?
I said the postal service.
Yes.
That was a quip.
that's the worst service. Nightmare.
The USPS.
Or standing in that line. Yes. But yeah, it's the worst. And like things would be coming in late or the worst. What,
dude? I'm so sorry. I'm going off topic.
Go.
Here we go. Here's part two, dude. Someone called me the R word at the USPS like 5 years ago, and it just like randomly.
No, I'm not laughing because that's funny. I'm laughing because it's random.
It's kind of fucking hilarious. Like,
was it like a worker?
Yeah, I like.
That's really fucked up.
I was trying to mail something. And it was a huge line. And like I was like supposed to do something, but I didn't because I'm like, you know, I don't read or like glisten. So
yeah,
I'm just like going up to the line and I got like this fucking, I don't even remember what I was shipping. I didn't pack it or like do any of the things I was supposed to do while I was waiting in line.
Mm.
And so the lady had to like help me and there was like people behind me. And like, I started feeling anxious because like, shit, I'm holding up the line. Damn, I'm so stupid. And I like just like go back and forth with this lady trying to like get the package up. And eventually she just blurts out, "Are you retarded or something?"
Like, that's so messed up.
That's so bad.
I was like, I turn around and everyone's looking at me and I look back at her and I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Fun fact, that's a common word to use in the South.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Do you have a story about someone calling someone the R word?
Well, no. Words? Like, okay, this is a shameful moment for me. I didn't know that was a bad word.
Oh, no.
Until like high school.
Oh, respect.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
It's a fair area to learn where the R word's bad.
Yeah, and then in high school, like someone was explained to me why it was bad, and then I stopped using it.
Yeah.
So
I feel like high school is where you learn a lot about the vocabulary that you should and should not use.
Or things that you just like learned.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. So, hey, Dimitri, no worries. You know, I'm sure the people that you use the R word with will forgive you for your transgressions.
Yeah.
Well, it was mainly my siblings, so.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Well, maybe there's some bad blood there, actually.
I would hope not.
Tell us a...
No, I'm not telling you. I feel that's too much. You know, Mac, we can do this after the podcast.
That quip in.
Yeah. All right. I got quips.
Unequip it.
Yeah.
You like that one?
Yeah, that was sick, dude. I'm unequipping the quip. All right. Continue on. What the fuck were we talking about? Esports?
Yeah. We were talking about my most traumatic moment.
Oh, yeah.
Or things that went wrong.
And I told you about my most traumatic moment.
You told me. Yeah, the post office.
All right. We're back. All right.
What was I even saying? Oh, things coming in late. And then I think the one where I had the most anxiety is when, the worst feeling is when you have to restart a match because your client failed or there's like something going on. So like mid-game, a player will pause and be like, "I'm stuck." And it's like you have to restart the whole entire match. No. And they're maybe like 30 or 40 minutes in.
No, dude.
Yeah. Like they can't continue the game.
But aren't these like televised or like live streamed? That's so bad.
So then we go over and then we start getting into overtime for camera folks and also our volunteers. And so you start to have to like, should we go down to a skeleton crew where it's just the core who like they get paid hourly, so then it's less than the contractors, and so it gets into a whole thing. But those are the most stressful moments of my life. Not to mention, you have the whole entire publisher group and like the CEO of that company coming up to me going, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh crap, here we go."
That is really interesting. I have seen a lot of esports events. First of all, I think it's very common that happens. Yes. I feel like I can flip a coin and it's like a 50-50 chance that the esport event I'm watching, something's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Just because it's technology. Mm-hmm. It's like gamers working with like highly technical people behind the scenes. Like there's a disconnect there that something's going to go wrong. But I've never thought about, this is a selfish thing, but I've never thought about like the crew when that goes wrong. Because I've always been a viewer and I've always just been like, man, come on. It's already an hour over. This was supposed to be done at 9 p.m. Like, come on. I just want to go to bed. I just want to see who wins. I got
work tomorrow.
But I never thought about like the crew who has to like stay there overtime and like make sure it finishes out.
Yep.
That's a lot.
And all the talent.
Yeah.
And like the after crew that has to clean up and prep for the next day or close out. And then if we run late on the final day, there's fees from the venue if we don't get out in time. So it's crazy. It's tough. So there is a padding that we have to plan for just in case.
Mm.
But sometimes we run over that padding. So it's very stressful.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
It's not. I think that's what I lose sleep over, is when things like that happen and I'm like, oh crap. So the last day of the event, it's great because I'm like, it's over after this.
Yeah.
I get to go home and dump all this out of my mind and never think about it ever again.
Nice. Yeah. Dang. I have an intrusive thought.
Okay.
Or an intrusive question.
Go for it.
Dimitri.
Yes.
So for the listeners who don't know, Dimitri and I are on the same project right now.
Yes.
And I'm curious, Dimitri, have you ever lost sleep over our project due to anxiety?
Also, first off, why did you gasp?
Because I, in addition to Quip Equipper and the guy who works the mixing panel, I also am a sound effect guy.
He wears many hats.
Yeah. No, it's a bit of a, we've got a bit of a hustle culture going on here. So there's no time for someone else to come in and edit the sound effects after. So
yeah.
So you do it live. So
whenever someone does an intrusive thought, you know what I mean? I feel like I could be a really good guy.
Another intrusive thought before you answer that. I want to hear an answer to that. But we should play some of your voiceover work.
Hilarious.
That you did for what game was that?
For Operation Harsh Doorstop.
It's a
free tactical shooter that's in early access.
Yeah.
My lines didn't make it in, by the way.
Are you serious? The barks? The soldier barks?
No, the soldier barks didn't make it in, dude. They didn't use them. They didn't want them. I got into this big back and forth with the contractor guy who like assigns the voices or whatever. Casting director. And he's like, yeah, you got to make yourself sound more gruff. You got to make yourself sound like you're really there in the firefight. And I'm like, I've literally got like a gun in my hands screaming out these lines into the camera. Like, what the fuck more do you want? I don't know how I can make myself sound like more of a soldier guy. I guess this just isn't for me.
Yeah.
If I remember, I won't. I'm going to put a line from, like, I'm gonna clip it right here. I'm not gonna do it, but it would be very funny.
It'd be great if you did.
It would be really funny if
I'm all for this.
All right, fuck it.
Maybe we'll do it on the Patreon episode.
It's the first Patreon episode. Is just a super compilation of every line I've ever done.
You should, because then like it's like, oh, I want to hear Mac do all these lines.
And honestly, they're really good. Like the morning I went to work and Mac just randomly sent me a like 4.5 minute sound file that just had a bunch of barks, like soldier barks for this game.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I felt like I was in the game. They were so good.
Thanks, dude.
You have I feel like when you really try, you have a great like soldier Call of Duty voice.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, I have 1,000 hours in Counter-Strike and I gotta entertain myself somehow.
Yeah.
So I'd just be like,
you're role playing.
Yeah.
My intrusive thought. Do you guys actually have a Patreon, or is this a made up thing that you guys just keep referencing?
Oh, we do.
We actually do have a Patreon.
We do have a Patreon.
Much to, I don't know, someone's chagrin. I don't know. Someone doesn't want us to have a Patreon, I'm sure. We got haters now.
I don't think we have haters.
Wait, why? Yeah. How?
We got haters.
No, that's Max Intrusive Thought. We don't have any haters.
We got haters.
We have all lovers.
We got, there are people that don't want to see us win.
I'm pretty sure everyone wants to see us win right now.
I was like, about all the people that I know that listen to you do not hate you.
Nah, we got haters that don't want us to have a Patreon. But we do have a Patreon. Patreon.com/drawcall is the link.
Yeah, no, we definitely do.
And
we got to shout out our patrons at the end of the episode.
Yeah. That's
exactly
right.
That is something put that
your,
we...
Fuck, we... Yeah,
put
we do
your stuff, Mac,
that.
On Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I will. I'm going to make a super comp. You can view it on YouTube. I got a little YouTube.
Well, don't tell them that.
I know. Now they're not going to go to the Patreon.
Come on.
I'm not going to give you...
Come any. On, Mac.
That's a little ARG for you. Right there. Find my YouTube channel. Find my in-game username and then find my YouTube channel.
Oh, scavenger hunt.
Dimitri, yeah. Do you have any old YouTube channels or like old accounts that are still out there?
Yeah, and would you like to give the URL to our
viewers? Yeah, just drop it. Just drop it.
No, because they're cringe. And then also my old PlayStation username is so cringe.
Would you like to tell
would
us?
Would you like to?
No.
We'll judge if it's cringe or not.
Yeah. No, it's
but we got to hear it first.
We'll bleep it out.
Yeah, we'll bleep it out.
I'm not going to bleep it out. I'm going to forget.
No, because you know, I think you can like link your Epic accounts or whatever.
Yeah.
So Epic like has taken my old PlayStation name because I never changed it and it's too late. It's so hard to change for some reason your PlayStation name.
Yeah.
So that's what it still is. And it's still cringe. So I still have it. And everyone goes out of their way to tell me that it's cringe every single time they see it. So I know that it's cringe.
Is it the meat tree?
No.
Damn. That was the first cringe.
The what?
The meat tree. Because her name is Dimitri. The meat tree.
The meat tree?
Yeah. It's the first.
Mac!
I hate that name.
Me too.
So, that is a lot.
It is bad. Like,
hey, well, yeah.
That's not cringe. It's just cringe. Bad.
Well, cringe is... Is that... Are they, okay.
That's funny, though. It's a good... I mean, it's funny.
Thanks, dude.
It's a good one.
I'm a quipper, man.
I mean, go on your own scavenger hunt, but I used to be a very, very, like... big fan of Alice in Wonderland.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Is it a pun with your name?
No, it has nothing to do with my name. And it's a character from there that Johnny Depp has played.
Okay, wow. If I knew anything at all about Alice in Wonderland...
It's the...
Oh.
Oh, shit. No.
He's got it.
No, I don't.
I'm not going to cut any of his dead time out.
Anybody who knows Alice in Wonderland, you would know my name. And then it gets confused with something else because of the way that I spell it. And, something surprising to everyone on this podcast, but not to Z because he's on my team. I'm really bad at spelling.
Should we talk about that?
No.
Yeah.
I feel like we might want
to
talk about that.
No, we don't need to.
I think we might want to talk about that.
We're airing out so much dirty laundry underneath you right now. Oh, this God. Episode might be a lot for you. I don't know if you want to do
so. It's fine.
Might be under lock and key.
Can we dive into that, Dimitri?
No, we should not.
She must have some egregious
spelling.
Oh, it's pretty bad.
My headcanon just attributes it to the fact that Dimitri is taking
your name wrong?
Really quick notes.
Oh, no.
All the time.
Yes.
And so there's no time to like fix the
wait,
errors.
Wait, she spells your name wrong?
Yes.
No. Well that's also
that's a thing.
A hilarious. Debate.
Wait, how is it a debate? We know how your name is spelled.
No.
Well,
no,
it's
no,
my
no.
nickname.
Yeah, his nickname. Not
Z?
I'm just saying there's
yes.
That's
there's okay. technically there's three different ways you could spell that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just Z,
okay.
Which is for our listeners, that's usually what I go by. There's Zee, which
I've
my dad and I have the same name. I'm not a junior though, but that's how he spells his name. Zee, Zee. So I don't do that because I'm different. I'm not like him.
But you're a junior, okay.
Hopefully your dad doesn't listen to this.
He doesn't. We're good. And the other way that Dimitri spells it. Is Z-I.
Whoa.
Okay, no. First, though. It's because we've talked about it, how Z says that some people will spell his name Z-I. So when I first started on, like, the project, I just put Z, because that's what it is in Bamboo, which, if anyone doesn't know, that's our HR, like,
yes.
portal. And then Z mentioned it, and so then I was like, oh, I'm just going to start spelling it Z-I, and it throws everybody on our project off, apparently.
It does. It's really funny. In fact, I had a conversation with one of our other producers on the project today.
Yeah.
I probably won't name them, but I can tell you after. And they also asked me like how I preferred Z to be spelled because of Dimitri.
Because yeah. sometimes I'll put Z, just a Z, and
yeah.
then I'll mess with everybody and then put the Z-I.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun little game.
It's really fun.
Damn.
What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know. How are you gonna wrap this one back?
I got it because Z asked me if I ever lose sleep about our project, and I don't lose it over spelling his name wrong. So
you've got the mind. You got a beautiful mind. I literally have forgotten everything besides the last 10
minutes. Well, your head hurts, so.
Yeah.
You get a pass. Hurt.
You know what? It's true. I'm going to sit right back, look at the waveform on this 35. Y'all guys got nice little 28 good more 28 minutes left.
Okay.
Until buzzer,
Siri tells us. Until
a buzzer goes off. And we go get.
That's your alarm sound?
Honestly, no. But good. I wish it was. I'm going to change it in there. I'm a very heavy sleeper. So I need like something big.
Shock watches.
Dude.
Anyways, another rabbit hole.
They make those?
Light yes. clocks. That also works.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's actually, yes. I think, okay. I'm no scientist, but.
Dude.
I'm pretty sure that's the best way to wake yourself up.
Light watches?
Yeah. You have a giant like light, right? Like I think it's usually like a sphere. And just it slowly brightens.
Hell yeah.
Close to when you like set the alarm to wake you up. Mm-hmm. And then you just naturally wake up because it emulates sunlight. So you just it's like a much cleaner way to wake up besides having your sleep cycle just like ripped apart by an alarm.
Dude, you want to hear something? You're insane. By the way, this app here. So again, for the listeners at home, my bedroom, the Draw Call Studio, has a strip light, like a Wi-Fi enabled LED strip light. You can change it all different types of colors and shit. I have the ability to do a strobe. Are any of you sensitive to strobe lights?
No.
It's fucking insane. It's insane. I just strobed the guests and my co-host.
This is why you need the camera for moments like that. Because would have seen my face being very confused and be like, "What the? Why is that a setting?"
Yeah, no, it's fucking sick, dude. And God. you can set that to happen to a timer, or to like a clock. So I've been seriously considering waking myself up to strobe.
I feel like that's the setting, like you like set on purpose to scare yourself awake. Yeah.
Oh, for sure,
dude. I've scared myself awake, and I hope to God that Jill doesn't listen to this episode.
But Jill listens to every episode, but keep going.
I don't know if Jill's listened to the latest episodes, but anyway. I during like the worst months of developing shellgames.com, I used to, like, whenever I was just like insomniac, sleep deprived, am going to fall asleep in my chair if I don't do something drastic. I used to code with the strobe.
You are lying.
I swear to God. I used to keep it on. And
that's psychopathic behavior.
Well, shit, dude. Hey. What am I supposed to say?
How did your eyes not bleed?
Dude, you just don't look directly
at the screen. You don't look directly at it.
Like, I don't even have to look directly at it.
I know.
So you look at the screen. You focus on your code. It keeps you focused. Look at the screen, code, and then you can turn the strobe off and go to bed. Classical conditioning is what they call it.
I think torture is the is the layman term. Masochism is the slightly elevated.
We need to find more healthy ways for you to work.
What? Come on, I'm fine. That was sick. And I had to. So the strobe, the developers of the app are very smart. They only allow you to have the strobe on for like 90 seconds at a time, and then it automatically turns off.
They don't get sued.
So what I did was there's a move effect on here, right? And again, another audiovisual bit, but I don't really give a fuck. You can make the move effect move really fast. So if you turn the half of the strip to white and half of the strip to black, you can essentially have the strobe.
Oh, sure.
You can have the strobe back. And you can just leave that running for hours.
Yeah.
And I have. And
yeah, Mac!
That's messed up.
I'm going to sound like a mom right now, but that is not healthy.
Shit, dude. The site's done.
Mom? Yeah. True.
Take it from someone who almost lost vision in one of their eyes. It's not fun.
What happened to your vision?
Oh, this is a different rabbit hole. We don't have time for that story. That story is really long.
Do we have? I guess we don't have time for that story. Siri says we don't have time for that story.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck.
Siri is our producer of this episode. Speaking of producers.
Yes.
Dimitri is a producer.
40 minutes in. Let's get to the meat of this thing. Hell yeah.
Dimitri, what is the game producer? What does that mean to you?
So to me, it's just really a different word for a project manager. And it's a more specified term because project manager is too broad. So when you say game producer, I just view it as a branch of a project manager because you would have to have so many skills to be a project manager in whatever industry you're in. So game producer is the definition of a project manager for the games industry.
And like what, I feel like game production is slept on a lot by not only like people who play games, right? Because that just, you don't really hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
But also I kind of feel like it's just like an underrated role. 'Cause it is like, in a lot of ways, it's like the backbone of a development team.
Yeah.
Because without production, like sort of keeping everyone in line and keeping like all the ducks in a row, right? Things would go awry really quickly.
I will say the way that Shell uses game producers are a lot different from what I've heard other companies use game producers for. So I think I can imagine why people think they're a little bit useless in other game like industry or publishers, mainly because a lot of time what other producers are is the product manager and the project director make the decisions and like the budget outline and whatnot. And then the producer kind of just is the keeper. So they just make sure like they're following guidelines, but they don't really make any decisions.
Got
versus
it.
At Shell, producers have full autonomy to make decisions just like a project director or any of the directors would. So I think there's a little bit of an understanding, at least in Shell, that producers are allowed to make comments and make decisions to help the team get to where they need to go. We are like the keeper of the schedule, though. So, and then anything that comes up or any extra scope, the first thing that a producer would do is bring it up to the project director and the directors and be like, this is our box. How are we going to change it? Listen to everybody's idea, give input, and then ultimately be able like, that is a good path forward or it's not, and sort through those problems. So I do think it's a little different in each publisher where you go to. I will say, I think producers at Shell do have more of a say in things versus in other publishers, they kind of don't, and people kind of ignore them because they're just like kind of keeping things like neat and tidy, taking notes in meetings is like the biggest thing that I've heard. But like at Shell, for the production team, we highly encourage producers, you are not only there to take notes. You are there to give ideas and opinions and make sure that we're staying in scope. So I would say I understand it a little bit. And then also I feel like more studios should adopt to what Shell does, just because I feel like it's easier of a flow, and it also gives a little bit more power to someone who is the keeper of that schedule, right?
Yeah.
So they have more say in what's going on.
Yeah. No, that, I think that makes a lot of sense. But how, so I guess I'm curious as to how you got into this role from esports. Like I can obviously see the similarities in terms of like planning and keeping to a schedule, but I guess for you personally, how did you make that jump?
Yeah, so fun fact, when I was in esports, I got very burnt out just because esports is a burnout culture. That's kind of what they are known for, just because they are up and coming. So it is very new. You have a lot of new companies coming out. So I was actually going to quit the games industry because I was like, one is very toxic, something I'm sure everyone has dealt with.
Very true.
So I was tired of it. I was tired of dealing with like children. And then I was also tired of dealing with just a toxic industry and then just being tired all the time. Like I would, like working was crazy, especially like during event times, and I was just really tired. So that being said, I was going to quit until one of my friends who actually went to Shell, her name is Kat. She's on the marketing team.
Shout out, Kat.
Yeah. She's amazing, my best friend. But she goes, no, I know you love the gaming industry. She's like, you're going to miss it. Come to Shell because it's so different. And so I was like, I'm in esports. It doesn't really like, I don't know. And also like, I didn't want to be in a publisher where I stayed on a game indefinitely. It was something like I really didn't like, I didn't want to do, because I was used to like events, like fast turnovers, different projects, keeping my mind like on different things. Luckily enough, when I started interviewing with Shell, I started asking them more about like their producer role and kind of what they've been doing. And it's very similar to what I did in esports. So I would like handle budgets. I would make sure we would stay like in a box. And if we didn't, what did that mean? So a lot of the project manager role that I did related over to producing and working with team. And I was also experienced in working with the publisher team because of the way that Skillshot started in Hi-Rez. Mm. So I was very used to interacting with like QA for like client stuff and like the marketing team and making sure like the game was represented well. So I knew all the facets of publishing. So I, it wasn't like I didn't have any of that experience and I wasn't just on like planning like leagues and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I don't think I had to learn too much. I think where the knowledge that I was lacking is what each individual role actually did.
Yeah.
So sure. For like design and art, like I just thought it was like a broad thing. I thought art, and some studios do this. Artists are in charge of like multiple parts of their discipline, not just like in Shell. We have very specific people in each parts of the art discipline. So,
right.
That was a hump that I had to get over, but ultimately everything else was kind of the same. Like it was like scheduling, using Jira, which I've done in the past, and that's what my company also used. So a lot of my experience transitioned over well. I would just say to like the macro level of understanding like the team, that's where I had to like grow and like learn. But ultimately it was the same, so it was kind of a no-brainer once I finished my interview process.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like the natural like transition from what you were doing before to production, especially I guess at Shell. I don't think I really knew that Shell was like so distinct from other companies and how they utilize producers, but that does make me a little happier to work here knowing that that's like how it goes, because I do feel like all the producers I've worked with, including yourself, it's always nice to have that additional insight and opinion inserted into like the creative discussion, because it, I don't know, sometimes it's, this is maybe going a little off topic, but when there's like a creative discussion going on. Maybe this is on topic. This is like so on topic perhaps. When there's a creative discussion going on, I feel like it's very easy for egos and rabbit holing to just like run wild, and it's very nice to have someone who can one stop the rabbit holing, because that's one of my pet peeves is when conversations rabbit hole and just like go off the rails. Oh, 100%. But this is a good area for that to happen. I'm talking about like when I'm at work and I'm clocked in, I do not, and I have a meeting that is scheduled for 60 minutes and we are supposed to have action items at the end of the 60 minutes. When we're rabbit holing, I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking to myself, hey, we have 5 minutes left in this meeting. What are the action items? Why are we rabbit holing? Why are we talking about this right now?
Nice.
What's going on? And I don't feel like I should be the one to say that, but maybe I should say that. I don't know. Maybe I'll like instant message someone on Slack and tell them to wrap it up. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about?
It's nice having a producer there. I think this is what you're about to say.
Yes.
To stop the rabbit holing.
To stop the rabbit holing. And to also inject a new perspective, like a different perspective.
Yep.
One that can kind of like see all the different stakes in the project and in the decision making. Because, you know, obviously I'm a designer. I have like one view at the problem, and only so much autonomy. So it's nice to have production like take a more active role in decision making and discussions. I appreciate it a lot, actually.
Fun fact, Quantum does have that problem where we rattle a lot and we talk in circles.
Sick.
So it is something, and this is also why I'm really good at wrapping conversations back to the original point. Also, that happened a lot in esports. So like it's not like this is unique to just Quantum. It happens everywhere. Fun fact, wrapping this all the way back, because I never answered your question. I have not lost sleep over our project.
That makes me happy.
I think I did one time, and it was because Kirsten, the other producer on her project, she was the lead, and so I was the second. She was going on maternity leave and transferring everything over to me, and I think I lost sleep like the weekend before that. The weekend I had this reoccurring nightmare. She was supposed to be there for another week to make, and we hadn't got everything sorted out just yet. But I had this reoccurring nightmare that she sent me a Slack message going, "I'm gone." And then I was like, no, there's so much that we have to do still. Luckily, that didn't happen. So I think that's the only time I've ever lost sleep on the project. But yeah.
Nice. Well, at least I wasn't involved in that. Yes. So I can sleep a little happier tonight.
Yeah, I will say this is the most organized project, even though sometimes I might not feel it. This is the most organized project that I have been on, and there isn't any toxicity on the team. Because this is the first time I haven't had to tell people to stop calling people stupid or pointing fingers. So,
that's wow.
Shit.
I literally cannot imagine anyone on this project saying that to anyone else. That's crazy.
I can't imagine anyone in the studio saying that
to anyone else.
Shell is the nicest place I've ever worked in my whole entire life, and I still think it's fake sometimes. Because it's so weird.
It's so, yeah, it's like so picturesque almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I have met like maybe one questionable person, but they're no longer with the company. But like, I haven't met like anybody who's like given me like the wrong idea.
Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, that's what this podcast is adding to, the excellent, positive studio culture at Shell.
Well, I feel like it's just an important, discussion topic. A lot of studios, game studios, are kind of shit to work at, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, that's kind of like the double-edged sword of the industry, mm-hmm. is getting a job at a company, being super excited to work in games, and they treat you like absolute fucking garbage.
Yeah, and it's legit the worst. And I have trauma, like I have actual trauma that I have to deal with. That I'm still getting, like, we call it deprogramming. Like, Shell is deprogramming us from all of, like, the things that we normally do. Like, there is a couple of times where I've had to, like, really catch myself about not being vocal about something or shying away from hard conversations because, I mean, like, I've been told to, like, stop talking in meetings before and that, like, I don't have a say or I don't have a voice. So,
That's so wild.
Yeah, so I have to work through some of that. And then also, burnout culture is a huge thing. So I'm overly cautious of it to the point where, like, I might, like, white glove people too much because I just don't want them to ever feel the way that I ever felt when I was in that culture. So, like, I mean, there is a decent amount of things that, like, I bring over. And that's why I say it all the time that I think Shell is weird. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Like, I think someone in our company was just like, Dimitri, you say Shell is weird a lot. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's just like, oh no, it's a good thing. I promise. So.
Fuck, man. I'm sorry.
Your head's still hurting over there, Mac?
Yeah, dude. My contribution to this episode has not been good.
It's okay.
And I'd like to apologize.
You got that good USPS story, though. that was pretty good.
Yeah, but no, I have not been on topic. That's unfortunate. I do really still want to talk about esports and the internal, because I feel like when you started at Shell, we had a tiny little conversation about the politicking that can go on within. Y'all hear that? That's Speed Racer.
Yeah, that was a motorbike.
Racing to his next destination. Like, I'm racing to my point. Do you have any... do you have any gossip for us?
just straight to it.
That I am not legally allowed to talk about.
Oh, wait. Do they have you under NDAs or something?
So, if you didn't know, you should probably check your contracts when you sign things.
That was a dig at me.
No. It wasn't a dig at you. This is a fair warning to anybody who works in the game industry. There is a clause usually in a publisher's contract saying you cannot talk about anything that has happened in their company for an X amount of years.
Whoa. Damn.
Or you will suffer legal stuff.
Damn, they're gonna send lawyers.
Yeah.
Bye, Mac.
Ah, fuck.
So,
it's over for me.
I'll be running draw call from now on. Just draw now.
Oh, wow.
You're the call.
Am I the call?
Yeah. You're the draw? I'm the draw.
Oh, no.
My call.
Fun fact, I learned what that was recently.
Oh, draw call?
Yes.
What do you think about the name of a draw call?
I think it's creative if you like know what it is.
Yeah, that's what Jim said on the last episode. Yeah. He's like, if you know the term and you hear it or you see it, you're like, nice. Yeah, that's cool.
It makes sense. For the longest time, I just thought you guys were just being creative. I didn't know where it came from. And then working on Quantum and hearing that
yeah,
like term constantly. Used a lot, I was like, oh, I finally understand.
Yeah.
There it is. I was Googling words. I was Googling game-related words because I also didn't know what a draw call was until the podcast. And I was Googling cool words in order to try and find a cool name for the pod. And yeah, I found draw call. And I was like, dude, it has call in the name.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's why you're call.
That's fair.
And I'm draw.
But okay, are you good at draw? Actually, you are good at drawing.
Yeah. I'm like okay at drawing.
Hell yeah.
Also, just very... Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you're not creative. I'm just saying Z is a designer, so...
Okay.
It's like in his, like...
To be title. Fair, though, Mac did create a whole ass website.
Yeah, I'm not... See, this is me coming off bad, and war is not happening.
Interesting.
And, or maybe I'm just playing both sides here.
Yeah. I'm saying Mac is very creative. Like, true. I don't think you could be in your position without being creative. I'm just saying,
well, Mac also literally came up with the name, the idea, and the visuals of Draw Call in, like, a night.
Yes.
I had nothing to do with this, by the way, for our listeners at home. Mac sent me a text saying, hey, what do you think of this logo? And I was like, yeah, dude, that's fucking cool. Let's run with it.
Hell yeah. Dude, man, that's a great memory. That's a nice, yeah, great little memory. I was still living in the box back then. That's pre this place.
Yeah, you were in Brazil back then.
No, that's pre-Brazil. I'm talking the box. 56 minutes. All right.
Wait. Where were you? You were living, what is that place called?
What are you trying to say?
Where the box was.
Oh, Uptown.
Uptown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A little bit of Pittsburgh trivia for all y'all folks. Uptown, also known as the Bluff, small residential neighborhood north of the South Side, north of the Monongahela River. I think that's right. I don't know if that's right. I'm not going to look at it because it's going to make a little keyboard sound, and I don't want that coming through the mic that I have to edit out. I wouldn't edit it out anyway. But, yeah, I lived up in Uptown in a box, literally a studio apartment underground.
It was basement underground, apartment. Yeah, I remember that.
No sunlight. Very, very little sunlight. And it had, because of the increased humidity, it had centipedes that would crawl around quite often. At night, I remember one time falling asleep on the couch watching Mad Men. Just as I begin to close my eyes, just a little centipede crawling across, just making sure that they know that I'm here. Shellfish too, or not shellfish?
Shellfish. I was like, what?
Not shellfish.
Half submerged underwater.
No, fucking. It would be sick if I was living aquatic.
I just had like this image of you like sleeping next to like clams and stuff, and being like, "What is happening?"
You said that so assuredly too.
No, not shellfish. The shit that lives under your bed. That
what has lives the, underneath your has bed?
The monster?
No.
A clown?
No.
Sorry.
The suffix fish. It's a bug. That.
Oh, the silver thing.
Silverfish.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, I also had those.
I've heard of those.
Yeah, no, it was.
I don't know what those look like, but I've heard of them.
They like it looks like a centipede, but it's gray, and then it has antennas on its butt and its head.
Oh, they're kind of small, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're smaller. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
They're like, can you imagine that, like going into your ear while you're sleeping?
Well, now I am.
It's gross.
I don't like that.
It almost happened to me.
Yeah.
I swear. Yeah, I felt one crawling like around my head area.
They do that. It's gross.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Natural earwax eater. I don't know. Do they do that? Do silverfish eat earwax? You can tell I am struggling.
I don't know, but you're like making like heebie-jeebies.
Draw Call is now a horror podcast where I'd say disgusting
Halloween
shit.
Is coming up.
Halloween is coming up sooner rather than later, my friends. All right, we got one. Let's get one more good esports-related discussion in before Siri tells me to get off the computer. Dimitri, take it away.
You didn't give me a question.
Yeah, that was like zero prompting.
You can figure that one out. I'm a
I can figure out my own question?
Yeah, for sure. Listen, we've been friends for long enough that I don't need to regale you with tales of questionnaires and prompts. I'm sure you can figure something out to contribute to this great podcast that you've been honored to be on today.
My sarcastic side of it just came out like super strong. Anyways.
As if I have not been doing that the whole episode. Come on, Dimitri. Give me something to work with.
I mean, like, I don't know.
Have you played any of the esports?
Yeah.
That you've like produced, or like, what's the term there?
No, I played a lot of League of Legends at one point in my life.
Hell nice. Yeah! Nice.
What role?
Support, and then I could not handle.
Don't say Lux.
No.
Okay. Good. Thank God.
Morgana, actually.
Oh, sick! All right, yeah. I can respect that.
So I only. Good choice. Yeah, it's only because she's like super safe.
Well, she's badass, so.
Yeah, and I also like her character art. I like evil characters. They're my favorite.
Yeah.
So I didn't like playing with toxic AD carries because it's so hard to play with AD carries. You don't, like, you just can't communicate. So I went up top and played Aatrox and Urgot.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is a huge shift.
It is. I'm really so bad sick. At, what is last hitting minions called? CSing? Yeah.
CSing, yeah.
I'm really bad at it. And then people will yell at me. So then I stop playing.
Well, when you play Urgot, you don't really need a last hit.
Yeah, I know. That was just like, I just was there to eat people.
Yeah.
With the old.
Dang, that's cool.
Yeah.
You never played League, have you, Mac?
Never. Never in my life. Don't plan on starting to either. I got enough bad competitive games that are filled with toxicity. I'm big into Counter-Strike right now. Right before this podcast, actually, we tied a game that meant that I ranked up to MG1, which means I'm almost back at where I was when I was 17 years old.
Is MG1 good? I don't know the ranking system.
What were you playing?
Counter-Strike.
Oh, I've CSGO. Ran competitions for that.
Hell yeah. Yes. Dude, that would have been so sick. I've always wanted to go to like a DreamHack or like a CSGO major. That sounds amazing.
I actually went to one.
For real?
Yeah, I don't remember how I got tickets. I think I had a friend. Oh, I had a friend when I was living in New York City. I had a friend who was applying to a lot of like different esports management jobs.
Yeah.
And he somehow got tickets. Like, I guess they were technically VIP tickets to a CSGO tournament that was happening in New York City in Brooklyn. And we got to go like.
Wait, ESL New York.
Yeah, ESL New
Dude,
York. Yeah, we got to like go backstage and like meet some of the CSGO players. And
that's so
sick. It was really cool. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Really like bizarre crowd, I will say though. Really bizarre crowd. And I
will agree.
What I mean is a lot of like older men.
Yes.
Like a lot of like 40-year-old men.
Oh, yeah. Were guys there. That were playing back in like 1.6. Mm-hmm.
It
like,
was wild.
Damn, that's
they have the oldest crowd.
I mean, that
was I did not sense. Know that. I was like really taken aback, honestly.
Because CS is older than League and Dota, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah,
or maybe at not. Least Dota. This was CS:GO. No,
competitive
though.
Play is older
than CS or than League and Dota and shit.
Yes,
yes, I would say so.
League is only 11 years old now.
Yeah, they'd had their 10 year when they released the Netflix series.
Mm,
yeah,
heard. Heard that. Damn. I am super... We should go to a major.
That'd be fun.
I mean, I'm not really... I haven't, like, watched, like, a prof...
No.